Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So I'll be perfectly honest. I wasn't planning to be giving the sermon today. Pastor Gary has disappeared. So I'm not lacking for anything to say ever. I'll just kind of go for a minute. We're launching this month of commemorating the 500 years of the Reformation, and we're talking today about living by the authority of Christ alone. And I'm sorry, sir?
Yeah, yes.
Sir, what? Why do you have a large hammer, and why are you... What's going on here, sir?
I'm looking for a place to nail up these ideas so the church can discuss them. That's what I'm doing.
You're looking... All right, well...
Is there a door somewhere I could nail these on, or...?
I'm gonna be perfectly honest. I'm not sure that our property chair would be all that excited about you putting a hole in our brand-new doors.
Well, I just want to give people a chance to discuss these ideas. That's all.
Well,
that's all I want.
Okay, well, who are you? Let's start there.
Oh, well, I'm Dr. Martin Luther. And so I wrote these 95 ideas for the church to consider. Can I
tell you what?
Nail them up?
All right. So instead of wielding the hammer and scaring the children and me a little bit, how about we put the hammer down and I'll let you come up here and we can talk about your ideas for a minute. Would that work?
Sure. I'd love to do that. In fact, you know, I love children. I have Katie and I had six of them.
Well, wow.
Six. Well, let me start from the beginning a little bit. When I was a child, I was born in 1483. That was 534 years ago, right?
You look
in Germany.
Good. Yeah.
And I look like it. Yeah. And I was born to a coal miner's family. We were very poor, but we were. And my father wanted me to become a lawyer to improve the family status in society. So I went to law. I always obeyed my father. I was a very obedient son. I went to law school, and I was doing everything I was supposed to until one day I was walking home from school, and I was caught in a thunderstorm. And I was caught. I was almost struck by lightning. It knocked me down. I went, I was so scared. I cried out, "Saint Anne!" She was the coal miner's saint, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I said, "St. Anne, help me, and I'll become a monk." Well, I survived, and I don't know if St. Anne heard me or not, but I became a monk. I left law school, and I went to an Augustinian seminary.
Okay.
I gave up everything. You know, I studied and so on, and we lived in these little tiny rooms, like in a church building with concrete floors and all that. It was, and I gave up, you know, the right to have family and children. I gave up even my own clothes, even my robes were not my own. Yeah. I gave my entire life to God.
Wow. So what'd your father think of that?
I don't think he ever forgave me, actually, because, it was rough on him because I was supposed to be the big name of the family, right? So, but in fact, you know, as I think about it, I kind of looked at God like I looked at my father. I was scared of my father. I'll tell you. My parents beat me to a bloody pulp many times as a child, so much so that when I had my children, I vowed never to hit them, and I didn't. But I was scared of God like I was like my father. And so I did everything I could to try and please God. I mean, I would fast. I went without food for 40 days at a time. And I not only did that, I whipped myself. I did all sorts of things. I prayed all night, scrubbed the floors in the monastery more than they needed it. I went to confession 5-6 times a day. And all this to try and, because I was scared that God was going to condemn me to hell.
Wow.
That's what I was afraid of. Yeah. And so, you know, I was actually, you know what? I came to hate God.
Wow, that must have been awful. Yeah.
Well,
I guess that changed. So what happened?
Well, sola scriptura. It's on your screen.
Oh, yeah.
Can everybody say that? Sola scriptura.
Scriptura.
You know what that means?
Oh, I do, but why don't you tell us just in case.
It means Scripture alone. By God's word alone do we live. And so I started studying the Scriptures. I was studying the Bible, and I started teaching it at the University of Wittenberg. And it opened up to me something about God I hadn't known before. God is a God of love. He wants to love us and forgive us. He sent his son Jesus to die for us so we don't have to be afraid anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it changed everything for me. And it's by the grace of God we live. Sola gratia. Can you say that?
Sola gratia.
That's right. By grace alone we live. The grace of God. And when we trust in that grace of God, then we are living in sola fide.
Sola fide.
Yes. Faith alone. Faith alone in the one who can save us and free us. And by the, then we are free. We don't have to be afraid. We can live by the authority of Christos, solus Christos.
Sola Christus.
Christos. That's right, by Christ alone, that's the authority for our lives. We don't have to worry anymore because we live by the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's not a scary authority, it's a loving authority. And he wants us to live in that freedom and love and have a relationship with him. That's all.
Wow.
And it's just freeing. We get so freed that we can live our lives by that authority, and we can obey that authority, and then we're free to be who we are, and we're free to reform the church even.
Oh, that's really perfect, because today we're actually supposed to be talking about living by the authority of Christ alone.
Yeah.
So you're not afraid of God anymore.
I'm not afraid of anything much anymore, except thunderstorms.
Sure, yeah.
But in fact, I got so bold as to write all sorts of things about the grace of God to help people understand it. And so I wrote things that we didn't have to pay for God's love and grace, right? So I started challenging the church leaders, their authority. That's a problem, you know, because I started telling people that they didn't have to buy their way out of purgatory, that if they wanted to give money to the church, they should do it out of love of Jesus. And that caused trouble for the church because they started losing money in their coffers.
Mm.
They didn't like that a whole lot. So that got me in trouble. Then I did some other reforms. I thought priests should be married and the nuns too, so I got them all married off to each other.
Yeah.
And then, besides that, you know, I wrote all sorts of things about to the church and to the world. And in fact, I wrote 5,000 sermons, 450 books, and I think I wrote 19 songs that are in your hymnals.
Wow, so word really got around.
It did. In fact, and we didn't have texting, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have Twitter in those days, but we used our latest technology, the printing press.
Huh.
And I'll tell you what, our church reform movement, half of the stuff that was printed in Germany in 1520 was from our church reform movement. That's how big it was.
Well, that's really something. But
yeah.
We all kind of have to get on with worship here. So I guess if there's if there's one thing that you want us to make sure that we know for today, what would that be?
Well, okay, just for today?
Just for today.
Just one thing. It's this. Repeat after me. Sola scriptura.
Sola scriptura.
Sola gratia.
Sola gratia.
Sola fide.
Sola fide.
And especially sola Christus.
Sola Christus.
Yes, because when we live by that, Christ alone especially, we live with an authority that cannot be defeated, that can empower our lives and empower the church to do amazing things because we're free, not because we're scared. I don't want you to be scared except for thunderstorms.
Sure.
Now, let me ask you, but where's that property manager? I got to find out where I can hang these ideas up here.
Okay.
Somewhere
well,
on here.
Good
where
luck, good luck, yeah. Dr. Martin Luther.
Yeah.
Good luck. We do want to remember that we are living by the authority of Christ alone, and so as we continue to move through this month of commemorating the 500th anniversary, we Remember, there is no other authority on this earth or otherwise that holds claim on our lives, but only Christ. And so we give thanks to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.